الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last night we talked about the significance of knowledge and the great role that ulama play in leading the community. Every believer is in need of few things. One is to be able to dedicate himself, his life, his energy to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the second thing is to understand what is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many people, and there have been always many people in the history, that they thought they are doing something good. They thought they are doing something for the service of God, for service of humanity, for their own religion. But they were misguided. And therefore, instead of doing good, they were doing harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Shall I tell you who are the people who are in the greatest loss? It's not that they are not doing anything. They do, they act, but they are akhsarin. They are in greatest loss with respect to their a'mal. They do lots of things. Look at Khawarij. Khawarij were very active. They were not lazy people. They were doing so much of ibadah, but it was taking them farther from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, shall I tell you, tell them, shall I tell you, هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, who are the people who are the greatest loss with respect to actions? الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Those whose efforts are misguided. Not only a person can be misguided, sometimes your actions are misguided. Your actions are not going to the right direction. Like a passenger who is going to the wrong direction. Like an arrow which is shoot but towards a wrong direction. Or there is a wind coming taking to wrong direction. ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Their efforts are misguided. But وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. But it's not that they don't think they are not religious, they are not good people, so they acknowledge that they are doing bad. No. They think they are doing good things. يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسَنُونَ صُنْعًا. They think they are doing good things. And they think that on the day of judgment, Allah is going to reward them. They think that they are getting close to God. But indeed, they are going far and far. This is a big challenge. For a religious community, this is a great challenge. That you have to be always struggling to find out what is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And this is where we need guidance. And we need wisdom. We need leadership. This is not something that every person can understand. Especially when the community has to take a direction, then this is very difficult. We need leadership, we need wisdom, we need knowledge, we need guidance. And for sure, we need also to pray very hard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the people who struggle. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. If you struggle, you do your best, then we will guide you. But if you don't do anything, then don't expect guidance come to you. Hadith says, As-sa'iru ala ghayr basira, the one who is acting, the one who al-amilu bighayr basira kasair ala ghayr tariq, the one who acts without insight is like the traveler who doesn't know his direction. La yaziduhu sur'atu sayr illa bu'da, the faster he goes, the farther he goes away from his destination. We need guidance, we need direction. And this is where role of ulama becomes important and role of religious education becomes very important. Tonight our speech is very short, so I want to make one point and then inshallah we remember the tragedy of Karbala. And that is about the role of Islamic madrasa and school. Alhamdulillah, in many parts of the community worldwide, we have Saturday, Sunday madrasa, or sometimes we have everyday madrasa after a school. There is 1 hour, 2 hour Quranic classes. This is very important, and we should right now pray for all the people who work hard so that these madrasas, you know, can run. Most of the time they are volunteers, those who organize, those who teach, parents. So we pray that inshallah Allah will give them barakah in their life. And here I also call everyone who can help to improve the services that these madaras render, inshallah they should volunteer and they should come forward, because this is a very important institution. But having madrasa is not enough, because just having 3-4 hours per week or 5 hours per week is not enough. And if you say that, okay, we have also masjid or center, everyone can come once, twice to the masjid or center, this is not also enough. First of all, how many people come? How many youths come? Normally they spend the most productive time that they have in the school. From early morning till afternoon they are in the school, then they have homework to do. So if there is anything in the mosque, would be once a week. Even you don't know when they come, they are ready, they are, you know, physically prepared, psychologically ready, you don't know. So it's all very much dependent on the family and the sacrifice of the children themselves. But madrasa, I mean a school, is something that is very important. Every day, the best time of the day they spend in the school. And that is a very good place for us as a community to work hard and to make sure that we give direction to our next generation. And also, inshallah, we should open it to non-Muslims, non-Shia, to come and also learn and at least see the beauties of the manners that the followers of Ahlul Bayt exercise. I want to give you a little statistics about how other religious communities, you know, act. And I am very surprised that despite all the teachings that we have from Ahlul Bayt about significance of knowledge, significance of religious education, tarbiyah, why we are much behind, unfortunately. You know, I did some survey last year, and I don't think the figures are that much changed from last year. According to official statistics, in UK, there are almost 1 million students who teach under Church of England. 1 million students. So far, 15 million people have graduated from these schools. You know, church is not in a very good position now. You know, there are lots of attacks against them, and some of the attacks are not fair. The problem of secularism, you know, materialism, is also affecting them. So they really struggle to administer, you know, such a huge activity. But still they find it so important that they spend lots of their resources on religious education. So 1 million pupils study in these schools. 25% of primary and middle schools are under Church of England. 25%. And that is a number of 4,605 schools. And when it comes to secondary schools, 6.25% of education is run by Church of England. When it comes to the Catholics, although their number is not that many, they are in a minority here, but 10% of all the schools are under the Catholic Church. They have almost 800,000 students. In Birmingham, I was giving a lecture, you know, encouraging the community to have a school. And I said, you know, we don't have even one school in Birmingham, but there are 249 Catholic schools in Birmingham. You cannot believe, you know, 249 schools in Birmingham. This means how many teachers, how many staff, you know. It's a huge industry in addition to the educational side. You know, it's a big industry, big business. Just in the Diocese of West Midlands, there are 213 Catholic schools. And when it comes to the Jewish community, you know, according to the statistics of 2001, there are only 267,000 Jews in UK. But they have many, many schools. There are 42 primary schools. Just in London, 34 primary schools. There are 52 nursery. There are 13 secondary school. And I was very interested in the mission statement that they had about why, you know, we should have Jewish school. I very much like this. You know, we should be happy when we see good thing in the hands of others. You know, we shouldn't feel, you know, why, you know, we quote from them. So there is a question here. Why should I think about choosing a Jewish school? So maybe we should also have a similar question. Some people say, why we should have a Shia school? Why we should have an Islamic school? Because I know many people, you know, talk about integration. Many people say, you know, secular education. I know all these things. But I don't think, you know, we should be less than Jews and Catholics and Anglicans. Although they have less problem with the culture here. Our problem with the culture is more. So they say Jewish schools create confident, knowledgeable, and well-educated adults. Words are very carefully selected. Confident. You send your child to a school and he's every day bullied or, you know, ridiculed, then that child doesn't become confident in future. Confident, knowledgeable, and well-educated. They offer safe, caring, and warm environment where young people flourish personally and academically. It's not just academically, also personally in their character they develop. Then, another thing which is very important, pupils at Jewish schools make lifelong friendship and networking skills. Because in future they want to act as a community. They want to help each other, support each other. In every business they enter, in every, you know, sector of society they go, these people are already part of a network. They support each other. The Jewish foundations, this sentence is very important. I very much love this. The Jewish foundations they receive enable them to find their own place and identity in today's fast-changing and challenging world. I repeat. The Jewish foundations they receive enable them to find their own place and identity in today's fast-changing and challenging world. The world is so fastly changing that even people who are established get sometimes stuck. They don't know how to preserve their identity, how to maintain their akhlaq, their, you know, values. We are very quickly affected. And now imagine if a person is not receiving enough care in the year which is the year of formation, how difficult it is. You know, the people who come to this country when they are 30, 40 years old, still they struggle. People who have been always living here still struggle. You know, look at, for example, the church. The church is struggling, even the leadership. You know, they are faced with issues that even as leaders, they don't know how to handle. Among the priests and bishops, you know, there are homosexuals. Partly because it's so quickly these things come and, you know, advance that the church doesn't know how to react. By the time they want to react to this, another issue comes up. Always, you know, new things come up. We need to have a kind of safe place, a kind of greenhouse that our children who are fruits and flowers of our life can be looked after in that greenhouse under enough light, enough care, enough oxygen. And when, inshallah, they are strong, they can come to the public and decorate the society. But if they are not strong and we expose them to the wild world, then it's very dangerous. I'm not saying everyone is going to collapse. No, still 10%, 20% may be saved. But many people will be lost. These people are giving us a real lesson. If they can do this, and if they are concerned, if they are not relaxed, why we cannot be the same? So something that I want to ask the community to seriously think about it is that we should have many, many Shia schools in this country. We should have chain of schools and look after our children, also open to other people to come. And in this way, we can share the beautiful teachings of Imam Hussein with other people. You know, when you have students, when you have people who come to your school every day, how many opportunities you would have to show through your akhlaq, your manners, your discipline, your scientific achievements, the beautiful teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. This is something that we really should work hard if we want to do some service to our children, to our community, and to the society. We should really think about this issue of religious education. We should support and promote our madrasas. We definitely need them. But also we should have full-time schools. I don't want to delay you tonight that much, so I quickly move to the last part of my talk. Inshallah, we will continue our discussion about the community of Ahlul Bayt tomorrow. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي علت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبغي الليل والنار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين After the martyrdom of Imam and his companions, the least enemies could do was to leave children and women of Imam free so that they can mourn for their beloved ones. But the narrator says, وَتَسَابَقَ الْقَوْمَ عَلَى نَحْبِ بُيُوتَ آلِ الرَّسُولِ
They competed each other in attacking and looting the tents of Ahlul Bayt. Hatta ja'alu yanza'una malhafat al-mar'at an zahra. Even they dared to attack the ladies and try their top cover from them. وخرجن بنات الرسول وهرموا يتصعدن على البكاء ويندبن لفراغ الحماة والأحباء. The daughters and granddaughters of Rasulullah were coming out of the tents, lamenting, crying. Hamid of No Muslim says there was a brave lady from the tribe of Bakr ibn Wa'il. She was the only one who was moved by this scene. She said to the people from her tribe, "Why you don't go and protect the family of the Prophet? Ya ala Bakr ibn Wa'il, atuslabu banatu Rasulullah? Are you sitting here and seeing the daughters of Rasulullah being harassed and attacked? La hukma illa lillah. Ya sarat Rasulullah." Then she wanted to go and attack and protect the ladies, but her husband took her back. Then they started burning the tents. وَأَشْرَلُوا فِيهَا النَّارِ. Then the children, everyone had to leave the tents without having shoes, without having complete and proper dressing. Bakiyat, while they were all crying and lamenting, they were taken as a captive from one direction to another direction. Then the lady said, "بحق الله إلا ما مررتم بنا على مسرع الوزين." They said, "Please, at least for the sake of Allah, take us to the place that Hussein was martyred there." When they reached the body of Hussein and other martyrs, سَحْنَا وَضَرَبْنَا وُجُوهَهُنَّ. Then the narrator says, فَوَاللَّهِ لَا أَنْسَى زَيْنَبْ بِنْتَ عَلِيٍّ. By Allah, I can never forget Zainab, daughter of Ali. وَيَتَنْدُبُ الْحُسَيْنِ. When she was crying for Hussein. وَتُنَادِي بِصَوْتٍ حَزِينٍ وَغَلْبٍ كَئِيبٍ. When with very sad voice and very grieving heart she was saying, "Wa Muhammada sallallahu alayka maliku as-sama." O Muhammad, may Allah's salutations be upon you. Aza Husaynun murammalun bid-dama. This is your Hussein who is covered with his blood. Mughatta'ul a'za, whose body organs are severed. وَبَنَاتُكَ السَّبَايَا. Look, your girls are taken as captive. إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُشْتَكَى وَإِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ الْمُصْطَفَى وَإِلَى عَلِيٍ الْمُرْتَضَى وَإِلَى حَمْزَةَ سَيِّدِ الشُّهَدَاءِ. She said, I take my complaint to Allah, to the Prophet, to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and to Hamza. Wa Muhammada aza usayrun bilera. Yasmi alayhi sabah. This is Hussein whose body is left here without any cover. The wind of the plane is blowing on his body without kafan. Qatil awlad al-baghaya. He is killed by the children of the sinners. Ya Huzna, Ya Kurwa, Al-Yawm Mata Jaddi Rasulullah. Lady Zainab said, today I have lost Rasulullah. Because as long as I had Hussein, I had everything. Today I have lost again Rasulullah. Then the lady addressed the companions of Rasulullah. Ya Ashab Muhammad, Haula Idhriyatul Mustafa, O Salman, Abu Zar, Ammar, look what is happening to the children of your Prophet. Yusaguna Sawghas Sabaya. They are taking the daughters of your Prophet like Cape Deep. Then the narrator said, she continued, فَأَبْكَتْ وَاللَّهِ كُلَّ عَدُوٍ وَالصَّدِيقٍ. She made everyone, friends and enemies, cry for Hussein. Then the lady Sukaina went and embraced the body of Hussein. اعتنقت جسد الحسين. فاجتمع عدة من الأعراب حتى جروها. Then some of the Arabs went and pulled her away from her father. Then Umar ibn Sa'd told his army, Man yantadibu lil-Hussein, fayutu al-khayl. Who is volunteering to ride with his horse on the body of Hussein? Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منغلب ينغلبون. يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.